Hold it. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
Four championships in the last 5 years. Yeah, I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, podcast number 4. That's right, and we are staying golden because, as we said, it's the Bay's Golden Days. Everything's going good in the Bay. Back-to-back years, the Warriors are back to the NBA Finals. And right now, the Sharks, San Jose Sharks, NHL Final, holding down, trying to go after the big Stanley Cup. They're down 3-2, but they're staying alive. We got all the breakdown from game 1 through 4, and what's going to happen. Game 5, will the Warriors take it? Or how far will the series go? Let's just hop into game 1 right off the jump.
We meet again at last.
It was a year ago with the Golden State Warriors capping off a 67-win season with a championship over the Cleveland Cavaliers in 6 games. For the city of Cleveland, it's been 52 years since they won a title, since their king was crowned. LeBron James has been to the finals now 7 times, each of the last 6 years, but he's 2-4 in his career. The question becomes, can the Warriors cap off a season where they went 73-9, a season where they won 54 straight at home, a 24-0 beginning, the most road wins ever, and coming from 3-1 down, do they validate all of that with a championship? Or does Cleveland, riding high, a 57-win season, come out of the East and win a championship? They did it a year ago with the Warriors winning in 6 games. The Cavs and Warriors with game 1. LeBron, the king, does he ascend to the throne? Or do the Warriors send him home again and win back-to-back titles, becoming only the 7th franchise ever to do that? Game 1 is on the way.
Look, Ma, no shoelaces. And I'm down with the kid. You wanna be down with the kid. You wanna be down with the kid. You wanna be down with the kid.
The rematch we have all been waiting for. That's right, 2016 NBA Finals. The rematch of the 2015 NBA Finals. And this is healthy squad versus healthy squad. No excuses, 2 teams going at it, and it went down in Oakland, California, game 1, and the Warriors came out to play, taking game 1, 104-89, and this truly was an all-around effort. And going into game 1 to the NBA Finals, if I would have told you that Sean Livingston and Bosa, the Blur, would have more points combined than Klay and Steph, the Splash Brothers. Tell me what you guys think about the game.
Anytime anybody would look at these Warrior team from the past 2 years and see that Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, game 1, only score 20 points, you'd expect a loss. And the fact that they won by over 30 is ridiculous. And that just shows our role players and our bench players are not bench players. They are great players and they are role players. They should not be called bench players because they do more for this team than any other bench players do for any other organization. And this game showed exactly what Klay Thompson was talking about at the end of game 7 against the Thunder about this bench and how amazing they are and how big they are for this team.
I give our guys coming off the bench huge credit. We got really true pros on this team. They're always ready. I'm just proud of everyone on this team that stays ready. And, you know, when the number gets called, you know, they're ready to go out there and perform. And that's what won us the title last year. And we plan to do the same thing.
And they showed up outscoring the Cleveland Cavaliers 45-10 bench points. And our bench, we would not have won that game without them. They were amazing and dire. You love Barbosa. I hear you talking about him. And I know you loved what you saw that game.
Yes, I did. Barbosa coming off the bench. The, you know why they call them the Brazilian Blur?
Bar Blur.
Driving in them lanes, scoring them points. What do you feel about that, Boosh?
Man, the Blur is going off, and it was a whole bench effort. Overall in this game, the bench outscored Cleveland's bench 40 5-10, and it was just pretty much domination across all the boards. Golden State came out, shot 49%, Cleveland's 38%. They were actually tied in three-point percentage. Golden State hit 9 while Cleveland hit 7, so they did edge them out. But rebounds, Cleveland did dominate in that, 56-43. Assists, Golden State was moving the ball 29-17, and they really did have their offense flowing, and they had the role players like we talked about. Harrison had a good night. Just when they were moving the ball at the right time, Klay, Steph didn't have the greatest of nights, but Steph had his moments, came in, had a couple of threes in the first quarter, had that dagger late in the fourth quarter, but had the ball moving. But it really was truly spectacular to just see Sean Livingston have 20 points on 8 of 10 shooting. He had 20 points, the same amount of points as the Splash Brothers. Just all the things he's gone through since that brutal knee injury when he was with the Clippers. It's great to see Sean Livingston come through.
Yes, it is, because he has had that tough time just getting back to his form. And look at this. He's finally on a team longer than a year. He hasn't been moved since that injury, because those years after that injury were really hard for him, because he was getting moved around every year, not sure for a stable home. And it's amazing to see what he can do, especially in the largest stage. Remember, he was a number one overall pick, so that's nothing new. The kid has game. But Iggy and Bogut, they came in huge. Last year's NBA Finals MVP, Andre Iguodala, with a plus-minus 21 in the game. He had 12 points in 36 minutes, but those 5-for-9 field goals and those 2 out of 4 threes, this man shot over 50% from threes, and we really needed it. But Bogut, 15 solid minutes of play. He was 5-for-7 and really controlled the paint at the beginning of the game and allowed us to start outletting and getting that basketball flow going.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You definitely had the flow going. Iggy came in, like you said, had 7 boards and 6 assists. That's the thing with Andre Iguodala coming in with that second unit, coming off the bench. Steph will play a little bit more off ball, and Iguodala will handle the ball, try to get open shooters, and try to have it going. But it really was a true effort. You talked about the role players. There was not too much help from the role players from Cleveland in this game. J.R. Smith was nowhere to be found. Tristan Thompson did have a double-double, 10 points and 12 rebounds, but it truly was just a better showing by the overall team, the strength in number by the Warriors, because you look at Big 3 versus Big 3. Cleveland did not play that bad. LeBron James with 23 points on 9 of 21 shootings, but he also had 12 boards, 9 assists. Kyrie had 26 points, 7 of 22 shooting, got to the free throw line 12 times, hit 11 of those, hit 4 assists and 3 turnovers. Got to get more ball movement from your point guard. And Kevin Love, in his first ever finals game, had 17 points on 7-7 shooting, had 2 3-pointers and 13 rebounds. Not too bad of a game from the Big 3 from Cleveland, but they really did get help from nobody else out there.
Yeah, the Big 3 for out of Cleveland's 89 points scored 66 of them. In any other scenario, that would be great stats. But the problem is, we, the Warriors, when I say we, only put up 104, and to me, that is a bad game, especially the way Klay and Curry played with only combining for 20 points. The problem with me, though, is Steph and his turnovers. The 5 turnovers was really bad compared to the 6 assists. That's not a good assist-to-turnover ratio, and for a point guard, we're going to need that to step it up throughout the finals if we want any chance of winning, and especially for him to try to get that first NBA Finals MVP. But Green played amazing, controlled the floor, was all right on shooting. He shot 5-for-11. He hit 2 threes, but he had those 11 rebounds and 7 assists, and his physical and toughness spread throughout the Warriors. When he started to get going, everybody started to feed off his energy just like normal. But Harrison Barnes, earning that contract, went 6-for-10, which I loved, with 0 turnovers, and he played strong. I remember watching one play against him and LeBron, and he made LeBron take that outside three because he manned up and bodied him and didn't let him go anywhere. But what we need to see more from Harrison is getting to that board. I want to see more boards from him. What he did that first game was just not too great, but he was scoring, so that's all that really mattered, because he only had 1 rebound. And for being 6'9", a small forward, we need to see him get up there, especially when we're playing small.
Yeah, no doubt about that. With Tristan Thompson getting all those offensive rebounds, you need Harrison Barnes to be able to go up there against him or against LeBron, where he's got to be able to win those one-on-one matchups on the boards to get those second chance opportunities, because that's what Tristan Thompson is known for, those offensive rebounds. Probably the best offensive rebounder in the series still left. But you mentioned Draymond Green. What a day that he had. You talked about his physical presence. He had 4 steals on the day. He was doing everything out there, and that doesn't even talk about what he did in game 2, because that man was just on fire.
The rematch everyone wanted to see had a different definition of hot in game 1.
Fire. Livingston on Shumpert, goes behind the back, left block. Estock turns and fires it in. Sean Livingston 3-for-3.
And while the Warriors held down the Cavaliers in game 1, you know at some point the Eastern Conference champions will knock down some shots.
Kyrie Irving into the front court. Kyrie Irving 100 miles an hour to lay it up and in. He
You got around Iguodala.
Yep. And that's tough to do.
But we also know the Splash Brothers have not even started to simmer. Clay, who catches and fires a three. It's good again. Clay Thompson just turned and releases. Just ridiculous. Who's going to get hot and who's going to feel the heat? It's game two of the NBA Finals.
Game two of the NBA Finals. And man, game one, it was Sean Livingston that was on fire. But game two, it was all Draymond Green. The Warriors took game two, 110-77. And man, this man was on fire. Draymond Green with 28 points on the day with 11 on 20 shooting, 5 for 8 from the three-point line. That's right. 5 for 8. That's as many as the Cleveland Cavaliers hit the whole entire game. They hit 5 three-pointers the whole entire game. So with that being said, Dyer, is Draymond Green officially a Splash Brother?
Yup. After game two, you know, he's looking like part of the Splash Brothers. He had more 3 points made. The Splash Brothers, Stephen Curry, only were 4 from 8. From the three-point line, Draymond Green was 5 for 8. What do you have to say about that, Harney?
I have to say Draymond had an amazing game. You have to give it to that. But I just can't see that progressing throughout the entire series. But you got to love what he did. You got to love it because Klay and Steph didn't have a great game. Once again, Steph, his shooting was pretty good. 7 for 11, 18 points, 4 for 8 from threes. But the 9 rebounds that he had is what I love. But once again, the problem that's been reoccurring, his turnovers. He had 4 turnovers again with 4 assists. The assist-to-turnover ratio is not good. And that could really be detrimental for the team later on if it goes down to 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, definitely talk about the Splash Brothers. They both had 4 three-pointers a game. Got it going a little bit. Both 4 for 8, shooting 50%. Klay had 5 assists. A little bit of ball movement all around. But this was a game where we actually saw the Warriors play better as a big three, even though they didn't have that great of a game, against Cleveland, because LeBron James, when he had 19 points this game, which snapped his streak of consecutive 20-point games in the playoffs. 19 points on 7-7 shooting, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, and 7 turnovers. And this was the big thing that I noticed about LeBron James in the first two games. He only got to the free throw line 4 times in each game. This is a man that's notorious for driving and notorious for getting to the rim and getting those foul calls, and he just wasn't getting that production. And you look at Kyrie and Love. Love, obviously, later in that game, got that elbow from Harrison Barnes, took him out, that concussion. But Kyrie didn't show up when he had 10 points, 5 of 14 shooting, 0 free throws after getting to the free throw line 12 times in game one. Only 1 assist and 3 turnovers. And you look at that, you mentioned it, with Curry having not the greatest assist turnover ratio. You can't have that with Kyrie. You can't have that leading your offense. And that really did play a part in Cleveland losing game two.
Yes, it did. The thing with Klay Thompson as well and Steph, they both had 4 turnovers, which that number needs to get better. But them only combining for 35 points in game two, 20 in game one, putting their average for two in 27.5, and they're averaging 52.8 throughout the entire season as a duo. So this just shows that the Warriors have won 2 games pretty easily. I wouldn't say any game actually give them any trouble, especially in the last quarter and into the final minute. And Cleveland's going to have to rebound in some way and figure out their game plan. Tyronn Lue's going to have to go straight back to the board and change a lot of things, because J.R. Smith, once again, was ineffective. And for their offense, they rely on his outside shooting for LeBron to kick. And as you were saying, LeBron was not getting to the free throw line. Andre Iguodala had his hands full with Kevin Durant last round, and he has got his defense back in NBA Finals form. He has his hands on every ball, especially when LeBron's going up to the hole, and it is terrorizing LeBron James. He is hating it. He is getting frustrated, and once again, 7 turnovers. He almost had a quadruple double with 19 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, and 7 turnovers. That is bad.
Yeah, talk about that Andre Iguodala defense and that one man who was protecting the rim, holding it down under. Big Bogut had 5 blocks, 4 coming in the first quarter alone. And that's what you need. You need that rim protection, because in this series, Cleveland trying to go small, trying to beat the Warriors at their small lineup. Like I said, you don't want to get in a pissing contest with the Splash Bros, but they're trying to go small, trying to hit the 3-pointer. But Golden State, Steve Kerr said, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to leave Bogut in there because I need Bogut protecting the rim against LeBron James. You need that rim protector. We're not going to go small and just have LeBron have a field day after him. And that's why you only see LeBron only having 4 free throws, because he's not attacking the rim with Bogut in the game.
And the Cavaliers role players were just not hitting their shots. There was multiple times where they're getting open looks from LeBron's drive and kick, and those are perfect shots. You'd expect these guys to hit those. These guys are NBA players, professionally paid athletes, that all they have to do is play basketball. You would expect them to hit those shots, and they're not. This game could have been easily different. It could have been semi-close if they were hitting those shots, but they weren't. And Kyrie Irving I would say he deserves the blame for this game for the Cavaliers, because if you're the point guard and you're controlling that offense, you only have one assist and you go 5 for 14 with 10 points and 3 turnovers, that is not going to win a game. You have to be that floor general and you have to create, or they're going to have to make LeBron the actual point guard and have him controlling the ball from top to bottom at every point if they want to have a chance, especially for any ball movement. There was no ball movement multiple times. Kyrie Irving was just dribbling out the clock, it seemed like, because there was no movement and he wasn't passing it up, and then he would take an ill-advised shot or end up making somebody else take a forced shot at the end of the shot clock, and that's just not going to win basketball games, especially in the NBA Finals.
No chance of winning with numbers like that. And you talked about Kyrie not helping out LeBron. LeBron in game one was trying to get the ball moving, and people just weren't making shots. So LeBron's got to take over. He's got to have that finals moment where he just really takes it all over. And like you said, just the bench was just not there for him. Once Kevin Love went out, the only man that stepped in to help out a little bit, Richard Jefferson, came in with 12 points in 26 minutes, hit 4 for 6. Shumpert came off the bench, played some decent defense against Curry to kind of frustrate him. He was doing that game one and two. You really saw the physical defense that he's been putting on. Like I mentioned in our last podcast, a lot of people were wondering what's going on. Why aren't the Splash Brothers on? Why isn't Curry hitting these three-pointers like he usually is? Why isn't he going to be MVP of this series? He was unanimous MVP. What's going on with him? And like I said, I don't think he's injured. I just think he's getting beat up. These last couple series, OKC and Cleveland have been putting their hands on him every chance they get. They've been hand-checking him, even though apparently there's no hand-check rules anymore. But this is playoff basketball, and they're letting a lot of things go, and Curry's paying the price for it.
The Warriors, if you look at their stat sheet in the box score, they played phenomenal, especially from their plus-minus stats. They had 5 guys in plus-minus, actually 6 in over plus-minus 20, and the Big 3, of course, had their plus-minus over 20, and then Iguodala, and then you know who the last one is? The Brazilian blur, Barbosa. He must have knew Neymar, the Brazilian superstar, was in the building, because he balled out with 18 great minutes, going 5 for 7 from the field, no turnovers, with 3 rebounds, and dropped a nice dime with a steal as well. And he really gave that spark to that second unit, and that's when they really started to pull away.
Yeah, the second unit was all over them. We talked about Tristan Thompson in game one had the double-double. We saw what he did later in game three. We'll talk about that later. But he wasn't there for the game two. Only 8 points, 5 rebounds. And that's where the Warriors were just truly the team effort. They beat them on rebounds. Like you said, they had the rebound from game one loss. They did not literally rebound in game two. They got beat on the boards 46-34 by the Warriors after winning 56-43. So you can't win on the boards. Like I said, they're trying to go small. Maybe got to make some adjustments there going into game three. What do you think? Go big or stay small?
I think this team has a lot of adjustments to do. I don't think there's only one problem that they need to fix, but mostly it's them hitting shots. They're getting open shots, as I'm going to reiterate, and they're just not hitting them. And that's going to be a problem. But I think in Cleveland, they'll go back to feeling their home self with their home crowd behind them, and they'll get a little more morale boost because they're down 2-0. Any game at this point is a do or die for them, especially if you lose one at home. You have to worry about coming back for a possible game 5 in Oracle Arena. That is not anything any team wants to do. LeBron needs to call Kevin Durant and ask for his advice, because I don't know what he's going to tell his team to get them going and get them in superstar mode as he is, because he needs those role players to play their lives out. This is the NBA Finals, ladies and gentlemen. This is nothing like a regular season game or any other playoff game. This is the NBA Finals. You only have 7 possible games, and Cleveland's running out of life.
And you need those role players to step up, and that's the thing. The Golden State Warriors role players stepped up in game 1 and 2, and that's what you need to have happen with home court advantage, because home court advantage, I think it really does affect the role players the most. Once they get into a rhythm, once you saw that second unit coming for the Warriors and just expand that lead and just put it away in game one, and you see what they've done in game two. We'll see game three, as the Warriors took care of business at home and did their job. They won their 2 games in Oakland, took care of the home court advantage. But now we look ahead to game three, where we'll see if the home court advantage could help out the Cavaliers and help out their role players to see what they got going for game three back in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to Believe Land.
The NBA Finals have not seen the full effect of the Splash Brothers just yet, but there was an appearance by a self-proclaimed Splash Cousin. Up top, Draymond, it's a 3, and it's money in the bank for Draymond Green. He's got 21 points. With the Warriors easily capturing the first of 2 of the Finals, the series now shifts to Cleveland, where head coach Tyronn Lue is searching for answers for his Cavaliers.
History is something that's made to be broken, so we're not worried about being down 2-0. It's not over until the team wins 4 games, and we know that. And we just got to execute, you know, when we get chances on the break to to convert, we got to convert. When we get open shots, we got to take advantage of open shots. And we just can't turn the basketball over like we've been doing.
Will Cleveland find a solution? Or will the Warriors take a commanding lead in the NBA Finals? It's Game 3 in Cleveland, and it starts right now.
Man, I'm so Cleveland.
Game 3, Cleveland, Ohio. Man, the Cavs came out. The crowd was loud. The crowd was going. And one of the coolest things that I've ever seen before the game, the whole entire crowd in Cleveland, the singers started singing the national anthem and then stopped after a few words. And the whole entire arena was buzzing. They were singing. It was orchestrated. And it was really a great moment in sports. And that really had the Cavaliers fired up, it seemed like. Because coming to this game, the storylines leading up, no Kevin Love, Richard Jefferson inserted into that starting lineup. And man, did this team come out banging. They came out on a 9-0 run to start the game. Kerr had to go timeout real quick because LeBron James made sure that he wanted to get everybody involved. Kyrie Irving, just to start the game with a backdoor cut to the rim, got him going early for his huge night. Even got Richard Jefferson going on a corner three. Had the game going. And through the first 7 minutes of the first quarter, LeBron James is shooting 4-for-4, and the Warriors were 2-for-11 from the field. This just shows how bad the Warriors were performing in the first quarter. They went down after the first quarter, 36-16. The Splash Bros were 0-for-8 and 0-for-6 from the three-point line. That's right, 0 points. LeBron James had 8 points. Slowed down a little bit in the second quarter. Only went 1-for-10, but that didn't play too much of an effect because Kyrie Irving was going off in that first quarter. 16 points, 7-for-9, 3 assists. He was 2-for-2-for-3, and no one could stop Kyrie. Kyrie was looking like Uncle Drew.
This game has always been about buckets.
It's all about the buckets. And that's the thing. Going into halftime, they had the lead 51-43. And they were getting plays from everybody on the team. All the role players, like I said, the crowd had J.R. Smith going. I mentioned in the last podcast, hot J.R., cold J.R. You never know what you're going to get. J.R. had 8 points in the first half. He had 8 points in the first two games combined. So J.R. was hitting his shots, and Cavaliers were really had everything working for them in the first half. They were out-rebounding them 26-18. They beat him in turnovers 7-10. They had 21 points off of turnovers in the first half.
And that was the theme for the entire night. The Cavaliers scored 34 points off turnovers. 57 of the 120 points that they did score were either off turnovers or second chance points. But it is disappointing to hear that the Warriors did not come out with the same intensity that the Cleveland Cavaliers did in the first half, but you got to give it up to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are at home. They got the crowd behind their back, and they came out with the intensity that they need to be when they are behind two games. And right now, disappointingly, the Oakland Warriors were down by 8 going into the half. And unfortunately, it was disappointing to see that they did not come out with the fire, understanding that they were down. How do you feel about that, Harney?
There's a lot of things that happened in this game that had me thrown away just because Cleveland outplayed the Warriors in every single aspect. The toughness, physicality, better basketball, and just fundamentally all around. LeBron James, once again, there's only 3 sets of teammates in the last 20 seasons to score 30 points each in a finals game. 01, 02, Kobe Bryant and Shaq. 2013, Dwayne Wade and LeBron. And now LeBron and Kyrie. Kyrie went off for 30, shooting 12-for-25 from the field, which is 48%. And 3-for-7 from threes, 8 assists, and 2 turnovers. The highest assist total for Kyrie Irving throughout these NBA Finals. And with that turnover ratio, that's a 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. That is great for a point guard who needs to orchestrate that team and who's been getting a lot of blame. But LeBron James, phenomenal. 32 points, 14 from 26, hitting the three ball when he needed it. Got to the line the most times out of all games with only 5, though, still. But had 11 rebounds, 6 assists, and lowered that turnover count from last game, but still 5, which is still a lot. But J.R. Smith, as you said, Marcus, came alive, doubling his shooting attempts from each game, with first game only 3, second game was 6, and this time he took 13 shots. That's the J.R. we know more of, and he hit 5 of those 7 shots as 3s. He shot 50% behind the arc, and that was killer because he was hitting them and had that crowd going. And whenever he would miss, I felt like Tristan Thompson was there for that offensive board. He had 7 offensive boards that game with 13 rebounds. More than half his rebounds were offensive, and the amount of second chance opportunities that allows a team, and you're not going to have a team playing at home down 2-0 is going to expect to miss more than one shot, especially if they're getting 2 every time they go down the floor.
The role players, Tristan Thompson and JR, like you said, finally came out. The crowd had them hype, had them going, and they just dominated every single facet of this game. Like you mentioned, the field goal percentage 52-42%. The Cavs shot better than them, and they shot better than them behind the arc. 48-27%, hitting 12 threes, while the Warriors only hit 9. They shot more, better free throw percentage. They had more assists. They had less turnovers, rebounds. Where do you want to look at this game? The Cavaliers came out to fight this game, and the Warriors really did look dead, and they were looking soft.
Yeah, the only bright spot I could see that the Warriors could even think about this game is Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes had his best game by far, maybe even of the entire playoffs. He had 18 points, going 7 for 11 from the field with 8 rebounds, 1 turnover. But the thing that I love the most, his intensity. He was the only one on the floor that seemed like he was on the Cavaliers' level of play. He was being physical, going hard, grabbing rebounds out of people's arms, which I love to see, especially for a man that's earning his contract right now. But once again, the Splash Brothers absent. Thompson took that hard knee, called it a dirty play. I think it's a basketball play. Things are going too quick. Maybe he stuck that knee out a little bit, but still, that does not give any reason for why the Warriors lost. And the one aspect which I was actually pretty happy about is that they got to the free throw line 9 times more, but only made 65% of them compared to the Cavaliers 70. So that just goes away because they had 9 extra points that they just did not get because of missing free throws. And Clay, he went 0-for-4 at the start of the game and he missed his first 2 initial free throws. And that had me just automatically thinking that this was just going downhill from there.
That was not the Clay we were used to for sure. And you're not going to have the worst shooting 65% from the free throw line. That's just not going to happen. So the Cavaliers came out and played great. And they were trying to hold off the Cavs, whatever assurance they had. Curry came back in the third quarter, came back from halftime, had a little bit of a vengeance, started getting a little bit going, had 13 points in the third, which I think could be huge for the rest of the series, because you look at Curry, what he did last year in Game 3 when that kind of got him going a little bit, and then he had that huge Game 5 in the series. That could do it for Curry, but LBJ said, no, 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 little Curry, I'm not going to let you get no rhythm at all. He even said, not even on a dunk, little layup, whatever you want to call it, when the play's over, I'm going to still block you. LeBron gave him that 5-star. LeBron had 13 in the third himself, just to match Steph, and he had that monster alley-oop where his head was above the rim, and he was just eating. That's LBJ, and he was huge for this Cavaliers team.
This just showed that the Patrick Ewing theory was in complete effect. With Kevin Love being absent from this game, look who stepped up, Richard Jefferson. This made me the most heated as a Warrior fan to see a 35-year-old play the most minutes he's played in a long time with 33, go 4-for-7, 1-for-3 from 3, 8 rebounds. He was getting to the rim more than any other player, and he was playing more physical than these other guys, and he's 35, about to turn 36 later this month. For a guy to be doing that against a team who's relatively young as the Warriors, that is a problem. That just shows they wanted it more, and it really showed the entire game from the beginning to end. The Warriors had no momentum, and it started from that 9-0 run that you mentioned about, and that totally had them out of sync the entire game.
Yeah, they got him from the jump. I mentioned Jefferson with that corner three, and just old head said, hey, young blood, this game is about getting buckets. And he did not turn down. Like I said, he came in for Kevin Love and really stepped up, and he was just playing so wise. He has that wisdom of all that NBA talent, all that NBA experience. And what he did, he was either catching the ball, shooting it, catching the ball, passing it, high basketball IQ, and he was huge. And that's just not what we didn't see. We saw the Cavaliers have more assists. They were moving the ball better, and that's just what the Warriors weren't doing, turn the ball over too much. And as we said, we started this whole thing off, Draymond Green was on fire. He was playing huge. He was arguably the MVP through games 1 and 2, and he was absent game 3 on the road, only shooting 2-for-8, only had 6 points, had 7 boards and 7 assists, but he was 0-for-4 for 3-pointers. I don't know if he was feeling himself from the game before. All of a sudden, he went cold, and they just went out there, and like he said himself, they got punked, and they were looking soft. Like Steve Kerr said also, soft. That's the softest he said all year, and we'll let Draymond explain it in his words.
I think we were extremely soft. We got bullied, punked, any other word that you can find for it. That's pretty much what it was, and that's why the game went the way it went. It's no secret that we got punked, and everybody in that locker room knew we got punked, so ain't too much to say. Ain't no shooting percentage the reason why we lost that game. We lost that game when we walked on the floor and got punked from a jump ball. That's when that game was lost. Ain't no X and O adjustment they made is what worked. They punked us. That was the adjustment. You know, I said going into game 3, and I said and I continually tried to figure out, like, what adjustment can they make? I didn't think there was an adjustment they can make other than to play harder than us, you know, and that's what they did. Coach can be as great as he want to be, you know, can come up with the best game plan they want to come up with. If you get outworked and outplayed, you just get outworked and outplayed, and there's no adjustment to that.
Draymond definitely made that clear. They got punked. Somebody call Ashton Kutcher,
because they just got punked. They were definitely soft out there. I'm talking Charmin soft, toilet paper soft, and there was no excuses. Off the jump, like he said, they came out with that 9-0 run, and they just came out, beat them on all facets of the floor, came out energized, had the crowd behind them. But that just brings up the question, will Draymond and his Splash Brothers respond? Will they come back from this? You know they got to put up a fight. They want to go back. They want to close it out in Game 5 in Oakland. Game 4, let's go.
Welcome back to Cleveland, Ohio. Tonight it's Game 4 of the 2016 NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Warriors lead the best of 7, 2-1, and all 3 games have been one-sided. The Warriors capturing Games 1 and 2 back in Oakland, and the Cavaliers were ready in Game 3 two nights ago when they beat the Warriors by 33 points. In fact, the first 3 games have been decided by 78 points, the largest margin in NBA history. So what do we have tonight? It's a Game 4. The Warriors desperately want to go back up 3-1. The Cavaliers want to make it a long series and tie this thing up at 2 games apiece. Will LeBron James once again will his team to an NBA Finals victory? Will Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson snap out of their final slump and finally become the Splash Brothers yet again? It's Game 4. It has the makings of a classic, the 2016 NBA Finals, and it comes your way right now.
Game 4, and what a response from the Golden State Warriors. They came out with a message to prove they wanted to take one on the road. They said, hey, America, guess what? Free Dorito Locos Tacos for everyone.
Dorito Locos Tacos.
Taco, 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 taco. And they came out balling. The Warriors won 108-97 and took care of business. A lot of key storylines going through this game from Game 3. Kevin Love obviously didn't play. A lot of people said, well, that's the solution. Kevin Love didn't start. Cavaliers won. Oh, blame Kevin Love. Simple solution. So Kevin Love didn't start today. He came off the bench for the first time since 2010, but it didn't take long for him to get into the game. Richard Jefferson didn't have that hot start like he did in Game 3. Came in after 5 minutes in the first, had 4 points, had a nice putback board, and he actually made a nice pick for LeBron on his only shot made in the first quarter. LeBron started off a little slow, only had 2 points, ended with a nice stat line, but don't be fooled. I'm going to show you why he did not have as good a game as the stat line showed him. The one man who did go off for Cleveland tonight was Kyrie Irving, had 9 points in the first quarter, came out, was 3-for-6, had 3 assists, had the ball moving. The story was the Splash Brothers. How were they going to respond? Klay Thompson had 0 points in the first quarter of each 3 games leading up to today. He had 5 today. And Curry, his key today was just to keep on shooting, keep being aggressive, and keep coming out. He had 8 points in the first quarter, shooting 2-for-5 and 3 assists. And that's why he just really needed to be aggressive coming into this game.
Yeah, his attempts just skyrocketed from every other game so far this series. He shot 13 threes today. The other games, I'm pretty sure he was only shooting up 13 shots in the entire game. And those shots at the beginning, some of them weren't falling. He just had to get the feel of the game. And I loved it because I want to see him put those shots because he, as I've always said, is the best bad shot taker, which people listen out there that are young trying to get into the basketball game, do not follow his game. He is a one of a kind. Please do not do that. But he ended the game great. Him, Klay, got it going how they should be playing. Cavs were lucky that they didn't play like that in the first 3 games. Probably 5-6 games the entire season they played that bad, and they put up 63 together, going 14-for-27 from threes. That's better than 50%. And when they're shooting like that, it's going to be very hard to beat. But my man, Varejao, coming in big in 4 minutes, grabbed 3 offensive boards, hit 2 free throws, and I was loving it, and the rest of the team was loving it. That got them hyped and started setting off the trend of the physicality for the rest of the game, and the refs were letting them play. They were getting tough out there. Some fouls, I was looking at Marcus like, what is going on? Are they not going to call that? And then Kyrie Irving will drive, and then a little touch foul, and it was blowing my mind. But the refs, they handled it pretty well, especially with the scuffles that were going on with Draymond and LeBron towards the end of the game. But this game was just purely won by the Warriors' will, and Tyronn Lue's, my aspect, his bad coaching by having Kyrie play 43 minutes, LeBron played 46. That's only 48 minutes in a game. He literally played every minute except 2, and Kyrie has not played those big minutes, and he looked lethargic at the end of the game and almost looked as he was becoming a defensive liability against Steph, and Steph really had his way at the end of the game.
Yeah, but let's
let's back it up a little bit and let's see how we got to the end of the game, because like you said, Kyrie had a great night overall, but got a little bit tired at the end of the game. But Curry and Klay, with the comeback, with the response, came out firing, like I said, in the first quarter, tried to get into that rhythm. Second quarter, they came in and there was already 15 lead changes through the first half. So you know people are shooting them up. Curry had 14 points in the first half, hit 3 3-pointers. Klay came in, hit a couple 3-pointers too. He was shooting 4 for 7, so he had a nice percentage. Draymond Green was out with 8 points and 8 rebounds, was going pretty good, got to the free throw line. Iggy was playing that great defense on LeBron. LeBron only had 7 points in the first half, only shooting 3 for 6, and his second basket came off a steal with only 4 minutes left in the second quarter. He was getting the rest of the offense involved, no doubt. J.R. Smith got a little bit going in the first, but he was hot J.R., cold J.R., just like we said before. 2 for 8 in the first half of threes. He ended the game 2 for 8. He didn't shoot again. Tristan Thompson showed up nice, getting rebounds in the first half of the game. He was nowhere to be seen in the second half of the game. So we move on to the third quarter now, and the Splash Bros really got it going with back-to-back threes off of a Bogut block, and that really got things going. They had more combined points through three quarters tonight than they had in any completed game through 1 through 3. So the Splash Brothers really had it going. They got an 8-0 run to go up 72-69 with 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Klay, Curry, and Iggy were just doing it all, playing D, getting the job done. Curry had 25 through 3, had 6 3-pointers through three quarters. That's when he really go off. Ended the game with 7. He just had a day. Klay had 4 of his 3-pointers through 3. Draymond Green, it was just defense, defense, defense. And the Warriors were able to take the lead 79-77 after 3. And heading into that fourth quarter, it was truly LeBron James versus Iggy and Draymond Green. You wanted to see those one-on-one matchups because we thought it could be a high-scoring game, but it came down to defense, and that was the key situation, the key matchups in this game.
Especially in the third quarter, what was a big spark, as you were saying about the Bogut block, that got everybody really in the mode and really focused in, and Harrison Barnes took control. He was hitting those threes that these guys were trusting him with, and that's one thing this team thrives off of. One, their defense to create their outlets and their fast break, but two, trusting each other. Steve Kerr always reiterates it. Trust each other and everything will go well, because if you have trust in your teammates, they will have trust in themselves and confidence in themselves to make the team happy. And what did Harrison do? He was hitting those threes, 4 for 5, even grabbing 8 boards, and coming down to the end of the game, he was huge, hitting pivotal threes off driving kicks that were crucial to get that lead and just spread it out to the point where the Cavs were almost just out of morale. They were just looking beat towards the end of the game, and you could see it, and you could see those fans with their teary eyes, because they know it's pretty much over at this point.
They thought they had a chance going to the fourth quarter. They kept the game tight. Like I said, 15 lead changes in the first half alone, and then going into halftime as the Cavs were leading, the 8-0 run that I talked about, the Warriors coming back to win. LeBron James had 14 points through 3. He's 6 for 12 shooting. Kyrie had 27. He kept it going the whole game, ended with 34, so had a great night. So LeBron did have a good third quarter, but this is where I don't see LeBron coming through clutch for the Cavaliers. People want to say fourth quarter, where does LeBron show up? Sure, he finished with 25 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, but don't be fooled. 11 of those points came in the fourth quarter, but he scored 4 points right when the quarter started. After that, he didn't score again until he got a free throw with 1 minute left in the fourth quarter. Then after that, he got 3 easy layups with under a minute left when they were down by 10. The game was already over. Padded stats. Where was LeBron in between in the fourth when they were running away with the game, separating that lead? And that's where you see the separation between champions and the people who are left with no rings out in Cleveland.
The number twos, the Dan Marinos. And the hugest thing for the Cavaliers to even look at this game is you have to change something up drastically, because you have tried to get in a three-point contest with the Warriors, and it just showed they broke the record tonight for the most three-pointers with 17, and they only hit 16 regular field goals. They hit more threes than they did regular shots. And when that's happening, this team is going to be hard to beat. And they only put up 108. To me, that's not even a great game for them. But they kept the turnovers low, which was my favorite thing to see, because they only committed 8 when LeBron himself had 7. Just think about that for a second. Let that resonate. LeBron had almost the exact number of turnovers the entire Warriors team did for the entire game. That just shows our defense makes us thrive, and it is the key fundamental for us, when I say us, the Warriors, going forward, because they're going to close out Game 5, and I know it, because if they play the way they did and that crowd's going to be rocking, it's going to be hard to beat when they're shooting threes like they did in Game 4. Nobody's going to be able to beat them.
Oh, definitely. When you set an NBA record, when you have the Splash Brothers going, because that's what it said, the Warriors have won 2 games before without the Splash Brothers even really getting it going. So they got it going. Now they got the three ball going. And that defense, Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, it's not the prettiest box score. If you just want to look at a stat, Draymond Green, oh, he only had 9 points. He still had 12 rebounds. This man had 3 blocks. He was playing defense. Him and Andre Iguodala, the D that they put on LeBron, he was frustrated tonight. Let me tell you, there's one instance where he stepped over Draymond Green after Draymond went down to the ground, and then they got in each other's face, and LeBron looks like he was the one instigating. He was young at it. Maybe he was just trying to draw a technical out of Draymond so he would sit out the next game, but who knows? LeBron, it looks like the Warriors were getting to his head more than his hairline.
After that incident happened, he was trying to force everything and take Draymond one-on-one, but he doesn't know we are a team. We have help, and our guys look out for each other. That's what makes us champions, and that is exactly what happened. What happened on the next play? Boom. Draymond slaps the ball out. They get the ball back, goes right to LeBron. Where's Iggy and Draymond? Right on LeBron, forcing that turnover, and I loved seeing that because LeBron James, to me, is still the best player in the NBA. You have to understand he's 6'8", 6'9", runs like a 4'3", and is like 275 built.
Freak show.
He is a freak. He really is. He's God-given talent. And for them to play the defense they have with the mismatches, because anybody against LeBron is a mismatch, these guys are showing that they really wanted it more. They took that game three personal. They took that game three personal and came out and showed them that we're good enough to win on your home court and shut your crowd up.
Soft. I mean, you get called soft by your coach. I mean, that's one of the biggest insults you can give to a group of, especially alpha males, professional athletes. That's the last thing you want to do is call them soft. So, you know, they had to come out and respond, and they came through for the nation and gave everybody free Dorito Loco tacos. But now going into game five, going back to Oakland, can the Warriors close it out, or will it extend back to Cleveland for game six?
This, to me, just, I don't see anything that the Cavs can do to change anything they've done from the first four games that's going to make any real impact against the Warriors at home. That crowd is going to be rocking. I haven't been a huge fan of the crowd. If you guys listen to other podcasts, we went over that. But these guys have been showing up from game seven of the Western Conference Finals till now, and I've been loving it. And I think they're going to show up. And the Warriors are going to show up. And the Cavaliers are going to go home, back to Quicken Loans, and just get ready for next year because they are not going to have a chance. I see it being close because it is their do-or-die game. Legitly, these ones were hypothetically do-or-dies because going back to Oakland 3-1 is pretty much, you're not going to win. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, tough luck for LeBron. And like I said, these box scores are nice. They're pretty. Like, oh, LeBron almost got a triple-double. But you got to look inside the game. Like I said, where was he at during the Warriors' 12-1 run in that fourth quarter? Where is he going to be game five for the Cleveland Cavaliers? Back against the wall. He's possibly going to go 2-5 in finals all time. He needs to have a legendary performance if he wants to pull this out somehow. And he needs help. Kyrie has been helping him out, but he's got to have JR show up. Kevin Love, if he can show up somehow, hit some threes and get some boards, get a double-double, he needs help, but he's going to have to do it himself. As good as the Cavaliers can play, I just don't think there's any way that they can beat the Warriors' momentum now that they have figured out how they're going to play. They've got their guys shooting well, and they're going back to Oakland to that home crowd.
Town Bennett's going to be in the building.
I think it's done. I think it's going to be done in five. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing more basketball, seeing game six and seven.
Never.
If it goes back to Cleveland, come back to Golden State, game seven. I love a historic season. Add some more history to the season, because tonight the Warriors won the 88 game, the most games ever won in a complete season and playoffs. Now they just need to get one more win and win that NBA final.
Una más. So one more. And the only way I can see the Cavs actually winning, LeBron, as you said, is going to need to take over and take sole control. Not as bad as say, don't have so much trust as he's had in his teammates. Because this is a time where, as you said, champions are made and greatness needs to shine. And he needs to have that classic historic game for him and his legacy. Because five NBA finals losses, if he loses, that's pretty historic in a bad way, especially with it, no matter what he does greatness wise, how many records he will break, how many playoff records he'll break, how many finals records he'll break, he will always be looked at for five NBA finals losses. And coming back six in a row and losing four, it's got a hurt on his head, but he literally has to take control and he has to be a little selfish. I want to see him put up 30 shots. And he's probably going to have to play the entire 48, so he better get in the cold bath right now, even on the plane, because he's going to need to put up 30 shots, and he's going to need to hit at least 17. He needs to put up at least 40 with like 15 rebounds and at least 7 assists. He needs to play a perfect game, an absolute perfect game. And that's hard to rely on because he's still going to need to get those assists from other people making those buckets. And that crowd's going to be in their ear.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. They're going to be cheering on the Dubs coming back to Oakland. LeBron, he needs to do something legendary, something historic. But I believe there's another man who's looking to do something historic, who wants to make a name for himself because he's back-to-back MVP, unanimous MVP. But everybody is on this man's back because he's not the NBA Finals MVP. Well, tonight, he put up 38.
30 on me, Steph Curry.
So, his average is pretty damn high up there now for leading scorers of this series. He's got the stats. If he can have another huge game in Game 5 in Oakland to close it out, we could be looking at Steph Curry evolving, winning not just the NBA Finals, possibly the NBA Finals MVP, and then that would be officially taking the throne, taking the crown from King James as the best player in the NBA.
What other way for the Warriors and Steph Curry to end this historic season than him, the first ever unanimous MVP to win the Finals MVP for his first time as back-to-back champions? But for now, Curry needs to drop to me at least 35 next game and be pivotal if it comes down to late game situations for him to win. But if Iggy puts up 15 in the stat lines he's been putting up, I think that he still might end up getting it because he has not played bad one game. His stats have been the same and playing overall well with plus minus in the plus. And if they're going to look at that and not just go by the name and like what Curry's done in the last two games, I think Iggy deserves it once again because he's been playing flat out amazing in his defense. I can't even talk about that. It's
yeah,
too much to talk about.
No doubt about it. Like I mentioned, you don't look at his guy's stats or you look at the box score every game and it's not jumping out to you. It's not these triple double numbers or whatever it is, but he gets the job done. He does everything on the floor. He comes in, plays point guard, gets guys open, plays defense, gets boards, gets the ball moving. This man does it all. Andre Iguodala. It doesn't matter who's it going to be. Klay can come in. They might just give him the award for just carrying him to the goddamn finals, just carrying him the whole way through.
The great Corey Matthews.
So we'll see what happens. It should be an interesting night, possibly historic night going down in Oakland. One of the last few seasons in Oakland for the Warriors, sadly, before they go down to San Francisco. But it should be great, and hopefully we could be changing our intro song to the Bay's Golden Days soon because we might get another championship in here.
Yes, sir, and hopefully the Sharks can do the same coming back home on Sunday for Game 6 of the Stanley Cup after taking care of business in a do-or-die game in Pittsburgh with a great win, 3-2. And they just look like a better team, and I can't wait to watch how they come out on Sunday, and the SAP Center is going to be rocking. Then they play well at home, and it's going to be fun because think about it. We could put 6 championships up in 6 years for the Bay Area. Hey. Let's stay Bay Area, stand up.
Hey, you know what it is. So we'll keep you covered on all that. You know, we'll be back possibly after Monday, Game 5. We'll see how far the series go. We'll come back, get some recap for the Sharks finally. We'll go on to some Giants. They're playing the Dodgers this weekend. We'll talk about all the Bay love. It's the Bay's Golden Days, baby. You know what it is.
Yep, check us out on Instagram and Twitter at BGD Sports. Give us a follow. Let us know what you think because we'll be coming at you with the Live Mo's podcast.
Yeah, that's right. And thank you to everybody who's been downloading, subscribing, iTunes, Google Play. We got on the new and noteworthy section, making moves out here, big moves. Keep looking for us, keep tracking, and thank you all truly. It's the Bay's Golden Days. We out here.
Till next time.
Steady gold, pony boy.